Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this morning, Ezekiel chapter 2. Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. From Mark chapter 6. They were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter?" And they took offense at him. So we begin in with the thought of people pursued by God. That's been somewhat on my mind this week. As we were leaving our house, as we were having to find some place to sleep Tuesday night, Wednesday night, we tried to go back in on Thursday. That didn't work. Thursday night. People pursued by God. How's that for a description of the last week? Or perhaps the last year and a half? See, God confronts. He confronts us in the times and situations of our lives. And when he confronts, he does so with a purpose. God pursues. As God pursues, he calls us to greater things. Abraham learned that as he was called to walk with God, journeying to the eternal city and eternal life. When God pursues, he calls to repent and turn back from our own ways. When God pursues, he calls to faith, faith in his goodness, faith in his blessings, faith in the forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ. When God pursues, he calls to discipleship. Calls us to learn his ways, his truth, and his goodness, and to follow him. As Luther put it, life is filled with blessings and adversities. What else is life than a collection of blessings and adversities? But what are those? Blessings, a constant call to recognize the goodness and the blessings of God and thank and praise him for his goodness on the one hand. And on the other hand, a call and a stirring up so that we may call on him in our time of trouble and need and learn once again that he is gracious and merciful and forgiving. One of the confirmation verses for memory that I use, Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will rescue you, and you will praise me. So we are pursued by God. Individually, he will deal with us, and he will call us, and he will walk with us, and he will call us to walk with him. We as a nation are a people pursued by God. The nation of Israel learned this. We've been given blessings by God beyond our wildest imagination so that we may know the grace and the goodness of God and remember that every blessing comes from his hand. Back in Deuteronomy, when you bring your offering, remember that not only did you receive these good gifts, you received from God the ability to work, the ability to gather these blessings. We as a nation have faced trials and troubles. And through the generations, they have called us to remember. Remember our need for God. Remember that we must gather and we must pray. we as a nation have been called to repentance by God where we have gone wrong. And we live in a time where people are acting as if Christians in this nation never had the idea that we had to repent, and the nation never had the idea that we needed to repent. Go look in some of our older hymnals and you find prayers for the nation that call upon God to forgive. And this has been generation to generation. The people of God, the faithful Christians down through the years, have held out this call to this nation. Repentance. It is always needed. And we come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and we don't say, "Oh, I confessed my sins a year ago, so I'm good." We realize that daily we sin much, as Luther said. Daily we are called by God to repent, to turn to Him. Because as long as we are in this world, we will have that old sinful nature. God pursues and calls us to turn away from ourselves. And as a nation, we have been given gifts of truth, things to hold in trust, that all of our blessings and all of our rights come from God. And it is an amazing thing that at the beginning of this nation, there stands there a confession that the nation does not give human rights. They come from God. As a people, we pray as Christians that as a people, we may follow the word of God and turn in faith, turning to Jesus, turning to know our Savior, and then walk as disciples. We are a people pursued by God. And that is the whole point of the Old Testament lesson and the gospel lesson. But over and over again, the Bible says they would not. In Ezekiel, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, they will know that a prophet has been among them." See, God pursues. And He pursued His people and pursued them, constantly calling them to come and walk with Him. Constantly calling them to hear His word and know that there is forgiveness and life and salvation in Him and in Him alone. God calls, and He calls through His word. God calls and pursues and calls the people to life and to have eternal life in Him. As He called Abraham to follow Him. As He called the people of Israel out of Egypt to walk with Him through the wilderness. As Jesus called the disciples, God calls and He pursues and He continues on in our day, calling and pursuing and gathering His kingdom, one soul after another, out of every nation and people and tribe and language. And so Jesus came to His hometown, began to preach in their synagogue, and they were amazed at His words, amazed at His wisdom, amazed at the miracles that they had heard about, and took offense. And if that sounds disjointed, it is. How do you get from the one to the other? They took offense. They took offense. Why? Well, in what they said, they knew Jesus, the human Jesus. He had grown up among them. Think about that for a moment. They knew him as the human Jesus, and this was an offense. But that is exactly what God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, came to be. One of us, our brother, to walk with us and be like us in order to win salvation for us. Made like us in every way, yet without sin. In Deuteronomy, it was prophesied, God will raise up from among your own brothers a prophet like me. Listen to him. In the letter to the Hebrews, he had to be made like his brothers in every way. And so we are a people pursued by God, because we have had God in our lives, and not only through his mighty preserving power, his mighty outstretched arm, also through his grace and mercy. We have had God in our lives by the words of the Bible in our lives and in our souls, by the waters of baptism, together with the name of God spoken over us, by the body and blood of Jesus set before us on the table in the Lord's Supper. We have had God walking with us in our lives. We are pursued by God, and it is the human Jesus, the incarnate, born for us God, who has been in our lives. So that the kingdom of God is not some far-off thing. The kingdom of God is bound up in the flesh of Jesus. He is God for us. The kingdom of God is there in his miracles and in his teachings, in his life and in his sufferings, in his death and in his resurrection. Jesus is and brings the kingdom of God. We gather on Sundays, and as we've said before, little riddle, when we gather on Sundays, is Jesus the one we worship, or is Jesus the one who leads our worship? And the answer is yes. He takes that dual role, being our leader, being one of us. He is part of the church. He embodies in himself the church, and all who are connected with him are the church. That's by definition what church is, those connected with Jesus. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. He has pursued, he has put his hand on us. He has called us by his word, given us his forgiveness, spoken the gospel into our hearts. And this is all his work. The work and the spreading of the gospel and the growth of the church is, very simply, Christ himself working to gather more into his kingdom. And this is how God has pursued us. Being pursued by God, well, it's not a bad thing. Refusing the God who pursues you, now that's not good. But being pursued by the God who loved you and gave himself for you, that's the sweetest thing in all of life, in all of history, in all of eternity. He has pursued us. He has dealt with our sins, carried them in his own flesh. He has dealt with where we have gone wrong, calling us to repent and turn from our own ways, and giving His Holy Spirit to bring us to faith and then to lead us in following Him. They used to say in seminary that this is the familiar and joyful work of God. Yes, He has to discipline. Yes, He has to punish sins. Yes, He has to call to repent. The joyful work of God is not a matter of might and power, but of mercy and blessing. The joyful work of God is to bring us into life, and that life being eternal life through the message of salvation in Jesus Christ. On that day in Nazareth, when the people turned away, they were walking away from all of those blessings of forgiveness and life. And this is the call that has gone out from Jesus to the whole world and for all eternity, for all of human history, to know what it is to walk with God and to be blessed in that relationship with Jesus Christ. So, you, each one of you, are pursued by God. By a God who wants you to live for all eternity with Him and receive blessings beyond your wildest imagination. How sweet that is. In Jesus' name, amen.